This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, we got a lot to unpack today here on a Monday. I was out Friday, thanks to the dude down the hall and Mike dancing with himself. There it is. Avalanche lose game 3-5-1. Ugh. How does that make us feel about tonight's game? Pretty crucial game, obviously, in this series. Also, we heard from the Nuggets brass on Friday. A lot of talk without really saying much. I'll get into that. The latest in the NCAA with the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. We got a lot to get into. A surprise standout who wasn't a rookie during Broncos rookie minicamp. So we'll get to that. The whole show starts now. Monday morning on the 11th day of May. Hope you, for those that participate, had a wonderful Mother's Day. Mother's Day for me, pretty much from my childhood to now, means working in the yard. My mom, of course, that was the thing. And then, of course, my wife, it's even more so. And it's going to be a fun summer, I'll tell you that. We got a lot of work done. We got a lot of stuff done yesterday. Sunburnt, Mike. Arms are toasty today. That's why I wore the long sleeve shirt. Got to keep them protected. Got to keep the guns covered up today because sunshine. I do not tan. I do not bronze. I'm either pasty white or very, very red and chapped. There's no in between for me.
Yeah, for me, I have three levels. I have pasty white, red, and freckle damage.
I don't really do the freckle thing, but that's just I can kind of get dark if I stay out long enough, but I'm not a big summer guy. Not a big summer guy. Not ready for these 90 degree days coming up, which sounds like they're going to be coming up this week.
Supposed to be 90 on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Sunburned too.
Yeah.
I got sunburned. I'm officially a redneck because my neck is red. I went to my nephew's flag football game, which he won.
Got it.
And
got it.
That was fun.
Good, good. I'm glad that you got to witness a win. The Avs looked pretty bad. Pretty bad on Saturday night, Mike. I thought maybe with Nathan McKinnon's quick goal in the second, things would turn around. But Minnesota answered that even quicker, even quicklier. And Minnesota wins 5-1. Big story, obviously, is the goalie situation. Jared Bednar, and I don't fault him for doing this. You end up pulling Wedgie, and you put Mackenzie Blackwood in there. I will be very, very curious to see what he does tonight. We all knew, Mike, at some point we were going to see Mackenzie Blackwood in the playoffs, right? We didn't think we would go 16-0 and not see Mackenzie Blackwood at some point.
Brian did.
He thought they'd go 16-0.
Brian thought the Avs would not get beat. This was one that I called the Avs to lose. I didn't see it being this bad.
Do you think they got a little too over their skis? There was a lot of talk about the Avs are a wagon. You had the Nathan McKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog, little love affair in the press conference. We didn't play that on Thursday. And I loved it all. It was good. But you start hearing everybody say, hey, the Avs, dude, they're barely going to stumble in these playoffs. They're just so good at everything. Defensively, they're good. They have the right stars. They have the right mentality. Do you think there was a little bit of, I don't want to say, like, you had the viral video of Nathan McKinnon swimming at the hotel. He's in his goggles fin flop things you wear when you swim? I don't know why that was a story, but it was. And Minnesota took that and ran with it and said, oh, we're definitely winning. They've got their stud out there swimming in the hotel pool with goggles and floppers on. I don't know why that was a story, but I just, there's part of me that when you have a team like the Avalanche, who are, they're the best team in the NHL, Mike. You put them up against anybody else, they should be the best team. But we know that doesn't always work out, right? How many times in sports do we look at teams and say, I mean, it happened with the Broncos, where they were the best team and they just didn't win. Now, in a series, typically the best team wins, but you can have a lot of crazy things happen. Look at how the Kings wanted to play that series against the Avalanche. Keep it close. See if we can get this thing into the third. And then you get some wacky puck luck going your way. And I mean, for like the Avalanche, this was the perfect storm of chaos for them. I mean, wasn't it on the second goal, Wedgwood lost his stick? And, I mean, didn't even have a stick?
He lost his stick twice in that game.
Did he lose it twice? When they went down 2-0, I still wasn't worried because I was falling into that camp of, no, this Avalanche team is too good. I think that they'll be just fine.
They can score quick.
It can score quickly, yes. After the second, obviously, it's 4-1. I'm still thinking if there's a team that can do it, it's the Avs, but just wasn't their night. And we'll see how they respond tonight, and I'm very curious to see who starts between the pipes tonight.
Are you going
Mackenzie Blackwood or are you going Scott Wedgwood?
I mean, I would probably go Blackwood.
Really?
Just for a game. I think the Avs have this one. Last game was an attitude game. It was about the Avalanche. They were up 3-1, and the game was.
It just didn't seem like there was a ton of aggressive fight from the Avs. There were so many guys that were just wide open. They had 4-on-4 goal. Jared Bednar was talking about that, and he's like, dude, it was like the Red Sea's parted, and he was really upset with that. He mentioned that several times, and it just seemed like, now again, Scott Wedgwood wasn't like game one, where you looked and said, well, yeah, you know, stats will show he gave up a lot of goals, but there were really a lot of crazy bounces in a 9-6 win, and not a lot of people that actually watch the game and understand kind of what they're seeing could put that on Scott Wedgwood. Now, this game, yes, you could put some of that on Wedgwood, but you probably put more on the defense or lack thereof by the Avalanche. There were a lot of guys just hanging out in front of the net, and you saw, you know, the Wild took advantage of that. And if you give a team like the Wild, who are really, really good, and they are capable of beating the Avalanche, certainly, you give them those kind of opportunities, and they're going to take advantage of it. I mean, they had some goalie controversy. They go back with Wahlstedt, and he was good. Now he's, like, really cocky about the whole thing, like, really arrogant about the whole thing. And you know, for the Wild, you're getting guys back. Also, your stars were playing. Your stars were lighting it up. Kaprizov is what I'm calling him. Had a goal and two assists. Quinn Hughes was great. Well, it sounds like Kaprizov when they say it so fast, right? Doesn't it?
But Kaprizov.
Kaprizov sounds like Kaprizov. He's a Kaprizov. Good, but there's not enough.
It's really hard to get that straw in, too.
Oh, it's very difficult.
I could never do it.
Very difficult.
I never could do it.
One of the more challenging tasks for children when it came to the Lunchable world was getting the straw and the Kaprizov. Faith says the Avs look very discombobulated. But that's the thing about a series, though. I mean, you could just have one of those games where you just say, "Eesh!" First game back, first game in Minnesota. You know, there's a long layoff. I thought it might benefit the Avs, but you know, now that we are doing the Monday morning quarterback thing, you can see why it would benefit the Wild because they had a long, even though it didn't go seven, but a grueling series against the Dallas Stars, and for them to pretty much just gear up to play, in their words, the best team in hockey, that was tough. So the break from Tuesday night to Saturday night actually really helped out the Wild, and you could see it. Now tonight, suddenly this game becomes very crucial because if Minnesota ties the series up, You get this team really believing that they can beat, in their words, the best team in hockey. Yes, Michael.
The Minnesota Wild played like this was, both teams played like it was game three and it was 3-0. That's the way I saw it. I saw the Avalanche, they were like, well, we're ahead 3-0. We can afford to lose a game. That's what it felt like to me with the Avs.
Which is unfortunate.
And it felt like the Wild were like,
yeah,
this is it.
You didn't see that from the Avalanche a lot this year. Where, oh, they've won a lot of games in a row. They are absolutely destroying the standings. They're going to let their foot off the gas. Kind of after the tournament break, the Hockey World Classic thing, world thingy, what is it called? You kind of saw that. But for the most part, the Avs never really played like they won anything. They were always hungry. And I think, especially in the playoffs, but for the most part in significant games, it did feel like there was a, what did Kroenke keep saying on Friday? Complacency. They're complacent. He said the Nuggets are. I don't know that the Nuggets can afford to be complacent, to be real honest with you. I have a lot of thoughts on the pressers from Friday. But I thought maybe for the first time in a while, this great Avalanche team kind of felt like they'd already done their part and they could show up and just win a game even when they're not playing their best, which they have done several times. Eastside Chris says it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. I thought maybe the Avs could sweep the Wild. I wasn't going as far as Brian saying that they're going to go 16-0, but I thought you take care of everything Saturday, and then tonight's game would just be because we have to play it, and you do it. But I think they win tonight. But I think this is a very interesting button for Jared Bednar to press or don't press is on the goalie one. And it always comes down to this. When the Avs won their Stanley Cup, I thought he played the goalie situation really well. I thought he's done that for a good chunk of his coaching. Now, there's so much more to being an NHL coach than just determining what you're doing with your goalie. But that is a big one. That is one of the big ones, especially when you have two guys that are very, very good. You want to make sure, again, when I say press the right button, you want to make sure that you're not destroying one guy's confidence by saying, yeah, you had a bad night. That's it for you for a bit. Now it's Mackenzie Blackwood's turn. And then when you have to call on Wedgie again, which you will, if they go with Blackwood, does he lock back in? Is he able to lock back in? Because we all know, like, what do you call it, the business side of sports? The business side of sports would tell you who to play. Mackenzie Blackwood. He's your long-term guy. You're paying him the money. That's the business side. But the gut side tells me that I'd still go with Wedgwood. I read Sean Keeler's article in the Denver Post, and he said game three takeaway, start Scott Wedgwood in goal for game four. I think I agree, but have you noticed in the games that I've watched this year, when Mackenzie Blackwood is back there, does it seem like the Avs play better defensively? It's just a weird observation that they're almost, maybe they don't trust Mackenzie Blackwood as much, so they play with a little more hair on their fire on the defensive side. With Wedgwood, I think they did get to that point because, dude, that guy, was it game two? He was incredible. There were a lot of opportunities there. He was incredible.
He's been incredible throughout the playoffs. I mean, it was ridiculous. Even game one. Game one in this series, he was really good. Those shots by the Stars were great.
Yeah. If you're wanting, now, Bednar even talked about, you know, when you pulled Wedgie and put Blackwood in, it was the idea that goes with that, not just pulling a goalie, but to spark something. You know, it's what you see in football all the time. You know, we felt like that guy gave us the best chance to win or whatever. That was kind of what Bednar was going for. And not a ton changed in that game. But I've just noticed it does seem like the games that I've really dialed in on, Michael, it does seem like they play a little bit better defensively when Mackenzie Blackwood is there. But tell me I'm wrong. He said, Chris, so Jeff Foxworthy is profiling now. Oh, your redneck thing that you did. You know when you're a redneck. Isn't it? You might be a redneck. Isn't that how he did it? You might be a redneck.
Yeah, dude. You might be a redneck if you do this in this way.
Dude, that was like all the rage back in the day. My parents bought that little cassette tape. It was the funniest thing ever for a second, and then it was like, wow, that was funny, huh?
The kings of comedy were better than the rednecks of comedy.
What were the kings of comedy?
I don't remember. There's only one redneck of comedy that I like, and it's Ron White.
They all had their time.
They had their moments. But like,
Bill
Ron
Engvall
White
was pretty
great.
Funny. I thought Bill Engvall was pretty funny.
Eh.
Here's your sign. They were all just very, I don't know, cliche, very easy joke. Kind of like what you do all the time on the daily basis. Just very easy stuff. Not a lot of thought-provoking comedy coming from that end of the table.
My comedy is thought-provoking.
Mm.
I have puns, and then I have thought-provoking comedy. It's above most people.
No, that's above everybody, apparently, which makes it not funny. If your jokes are so good that they're above
everybody,
but nobody ever laughs, right? You know what I mean? Like, no one laughs, so when do you...
don't hang around people who have that kind of
sense. I think you could have stopped at the first part.
Who are able to understand the nuances.
You could have stopped at the first part. I don't hang around people. And you tell jokes to your scooter, and that gets a laugh, you know, 4 out of 10 times. It could work. Michael, a lot to get to today. Obviously, your thoughts on Game 4 tonight. How do you think this one's going down? Also, I got to give you my thoughts on the Nuggets stuff on Friday. I thought it was a whole can of nothing. Really? I mean, Kroenke basically said, everything's on the table, including trading everyone but Joker, but also running it back is a very real possibility. Are we comfortable with running it back? And are you comfortable with the Nuggets potentially re-signing Peyton Watson, but going into that second apron, basically saying, this is it? Is that the move? The only reason I ever want a team to say we're going into the second, because, dude, I'm not going to sit here and break it all down for you guys because I have to really get my brain into it, Michael. Here's what you need to know. The second apron is bad for business. It's bad for long-term business. You don't want to be there. And the only reason a team can go into the second apron, if they feel like they're a piece away, literally a piece away, and that will get them to where they want to go. I don't think today, as we sit here, the Nuggets are a piece away. I think if everything goes right for Denver and Aaron Gordon is healthy and Peyton Watson, you sign him somehow is healthy and Jamal's healthy, I think they have a puncher's chance. But I also don't think that it's realistic to expect a lot of those injuries to not happen. And I also think that going into next season, if you run it back, it's still going to be the Thunder and the Spurs, maybe even Minnesota, favored to be over you. Faith says, Kings of Comedy, Steve Harvey, Bernie Mac, Cedric the Entertainer, and D.L. Hughley?
Yeah. Okay, so 3 of those guys I like.
Who don't you like?
D.L. Hughley. I never watched
that.
That was the
one I was actually going to say I like more. Steve Harvey. Yeah, kind of. Bernie Mac.
I used to watch the show all the time. I didn't appreciate it when I was younger. I've gone back and watched it now, and I get it a lot more. Cedric the Entertainer is funny. He had a variety show that failed miserably.
They're probably funnier than the Redneck Warped Tour or whatever it is.
Yeah, and it all now obviously it depends on your style of comedy. Like Cat Williams doesn't make me laugh at all, but like you, if you watch him sell out a theater,
did you say they did a,
everybody's
did they
on
did
the
a roast. Who was the roast they had over the weekend? I don't know, some white blonde. They did a Comedy Central roast, and Tom Brady actually was there. I thought he wasn't going to do that stuff anymore. Go look it up. It was some white blonde chick. She used to do, like, nightly shows. That sounded bad. And that's, like, dominating my feed today. It's only going to do so more because I'm talking about it right now. What's her name? She did stuff. No? Nothing? Anybody? Hooligans? Who was the roast of this weekend? I'm curious to know because it's all over my feed. Apparently, it was funny. Your guy, Cat Williams, was there and made a really, really weird statement about Chris. Oh, no, it was Chris Hart, wasn't it? Was it Chris Hart?
Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart.
Oh, it was Kevin Hart, but they roast everybody during these things, right? Like, one guy gets the brunt of it, but there was another one that they were actually roasting, too. And I can't remember who it was. Chelsea Handler. There it is. I don't know what that is, but they were giving her a really hard time.
Yeah, she used to have a show.
D. Shribe says Kevin Hart. Okay, sorry. It was a Kevin Hart roast, but they roasted Chelsea Handler, and I keep seeing that all over the place.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson was on it, too, apparently. And Dwayne and Kevin Hart do a lot of movies together.
How do you feel about roasts?
They can be funny. It depends. Like, if you have the right person telling the jokes, then it's funny. If someone writes terrible jokes.
I saw Pete Davidson made like a really bad, I'm not going to even repeat it, but a really bad one about Charlie Kirk.
I saw him in a roast before this. And
Pete Davidson
really
is not funny, by the way. Not funny.
He is.
No, he is not. Well, for people like you that don't understand comedy, he's not funny.
Yes, he's got some good jokes.
He's not funny. I do not think he's funny. I think Kevin Hart's funny. He's funny.
I think Shane Gillis is funny.
I don't think he's funny either. He's not funny. He's like, bro. No, it's not funny.
He's funny.
No. Now, Ray Romano, that's comedy. Pure comedic gold.
I haven't seen his stand-up.
It's as good as the show, which keeps you laughing for hours after the fact. Even after it's over, you're still laughing about the crazy stuff that happened.
Look, I'll acknowledge that I don't find Cat Williams that funny, but there are people out there who just, they're in stitches, they're on the floor rolling around
I don't think Cat Williams is funny. I don't think Shane Gilgis Alexander, what's his name? I don't think he's funny. I definitely don't think Pete Davidson's funny. I don't like his face. I think that's what it is. Maybe it's his face. Faith, the roast of Kevin Hart was on Netflix. They roasted pretty much everyone who was a part of roasting Kevin Hart. Tom Brady got his revenge from Kevin. I thought Tom Brady wasn't going to do these anymore because it embarrassed his family and he regretted doing it. Oh, wait. He was out. He wanted to get back in the spotlight. He wanted to.
You know, Kevin Hart said something and he got offended. So Kevin Hart probably invited him to do it.
I did.
This is how it works.
Like, I did see one that was funny.
You upset a guy. Then you call him up later and say, hey, I'm being roasted.
You know what
it's
like?
Back and roast me.
You know what it's like? You and I both watched The Boys for a little bit. I feel like roasts have become that. Where now it's just every joke is just really over the top, offensive, or sexual. And it's like, we do that all the time now. So
some
it's just not as funny as it could be. Draymond Green had a funny one, though, about whoever her face was, Chelsea Handler.
Some of them, yeah, can be over the top and sexual, but some of them are great.
I'm going to edit it because he said, hey, I want to clarify the rumor, Draymond Green. He's like, people said that I dated Chelsea Handler. I just want to point this out. I'm Draymond Green. I don't blank threes.
So, that's a good one.
Like, that one was actually good because he's calling himself out at the same time. Like, that one was good. But the rest, you know, I don't know. I used to kind of like them. They would play them back all the time on, you know, Comedy Central during the day when I was in college. So that was the only thing that would run is this roast. But then I think after a time, you just are like, okay, they're just going to be as disgusting as they possibly can to be to each other. And I think I just got over it.
Sometimes they can be, but sometimes they're really good. Nikki Glaser is my favorite all-time roaster. I think she is brilliant.
Do I just not think anyone's funny anymore? Because I don't think she's funny either. You know who's funny? The Barstool guy, the long-haired guy with the mustache that does the mock interviews, that's funny to me. I'm just trying to tell you where my brand of comedy is. That's funny to me.
I just think a good joke is a good joke. If someone tells a good joke, I'm going to laugh.
Eh.
There's a gal, I forget her name, but she's in a wheelchair. She has some kind of like genetic disorder that's... like, her body doesn't make protein, so she's slowly dying.
Oh, wow.
So she's
this
in a wheelchair,
depressing.
And she makes fun of herself for it.
Okay.
She has some really, really good jokes.
Is that the person that liked your stupid joke that you posted on whatever, your chat forum, and she liked it and took it and is now using it?
No, this is a different person.
Oh, okay. Didn't you become famous for that for a second? You told a really bad joke, and a really bad comedian liked it and decided to use it?
No, it was a fine joke. You guys just didn't like the joke.
I didn't like any of your jokes. I got to be real honest. Faith says, I just don't like the disgusting humor.
It can't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not a prude. Like, I watched Game of Thrones. I saw a lot of bad stuff, man. Saw a lot of bad stuff. But when it just becomes a lot of bad stuff for the sake of a lot of bad stuff, then I guess you just become numb to it, and it's just not funny anymore.
Yeah, there were times where, like, I understand the nudity was okay, the sexuality was okay, but then there were times where it's like, I'm going to have this dialogue while two women are in the background doing stuff, and I'm doing this in the middle of a brothel.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. It's season one, and you want to make sure that there are certain people who continue with you, but like, it's unnecessary.
Well, I was saying, like, I am going to finish The Boys because I picked it back up, and I've got two episodes left. The show actually is good. It's actually good.
So it got better from season four.
Well, you have to check your brain at the door. Because it's very much, there's a lot of political stuff in there.
I loved it when it was nuanced.
Yeah, yeah. But if you check, but even if you check your brain at the door, it's still like every other scene has some over the top, really ridiculous sexual thing happening.
So it's getting worse.
The story is good. The story is good, but they just destroy it with so much of the other crap.
If you want to watch a good show,
I don't.
That has to do with superheroes, it's on Amazon, Invincible.
I'm not really in the market for that.
Trust me.
No, I'm superheroed out. I just started The Boys when it first came out. I enjoyed it. And then I stopped watching it because I think we canceled Amazon Prime or whatever, but we got it back. And so I'm just finishing it because it's my duty to finish it now. But I'm not really in the market to watch any more Thors and Captain Americas and underwear and hammers and stuff. I'm out.
This is along the lines of The Boys, but not as raunchy and not as political.
I'll think about it.
Watch the first episode.
Okay.
Just maybe. Watch the first episodes.
In July.
So good.
In July, I might. By the way, what'd you guys... Your freaking thing, man. This whole movie review is your plan. And what happened on Friday when I was out?
Wait, first of all, it was your plan.
And you took it over. Because you had to write your log. Oh, this is an email. I would like to carry the four and watch this movie and then this movie, but this movie subsides with this movie.
It was a suggestion.
But why didn't you step up to the plate, so to speak, on Friday?
My brain wasn't working.
You didn't watch the movie, did you?
I did not.
Or was that a secret we were not telling anyone?
I told everyone I did not watch the movie.
What the hell, man? What? Bull Durham. You were all on board. You wanted to see it.
I did. And one day I will watch it. But this week I will watch Field of Insanity.
Field of Dreams.
That one.
Really?
It's got Darth Vader in it.
It's boring. Really? Is he in that one too?
Yeah, he's in that one and he's
in Well, I know he's in
Sandlot.
Is he really? Is he? Wow, it's been a long time since I watched that movie and it was boring.
Luke, if you build it, they will come.
Don't do your Star Trek thing. Don't do Star Trek. Don't do Star Trek, okay? Just don't do it. Star Wars Day and Star Trek Merge Day, whatever it was last week. That day is gone. Now it's back to being a normal person.
I am a baseball fan.
If you were a baseball fan, you would have watched Bull Durham last week.
No, that was Darth Vader talking to Luke Skywalker and saying, I am a baseball fan, so I'm going to do the Field of Dreams thing.
So we're watching Field of Dreams?
Yes.
If we get enough texters to say no on that, could we not?
And if we get enough texters to say yes on that, then you have to watch it twice.
Well, we're already playing. I'm not watching it twice. I'll watch it once just to refresh my brain. Because all I remember is it's Kevin Costner, and he builds a field, and all the great legends that died come back and play baseball, and it's a magical thing. That's all I remember from it. I don't know anything else about it. I mean, I think I watched it when I was like 7. So...
I watched a couple clips on YouTube.
It's going to be like the natural thing again. Basically, it's like I'm watching it for the first time because I don't remember. I just know it was a Field of Dreams and Kevin Costner's in it.
And now they play real-life baseball in it sometimes.
Which I actually like that. That actually is kind of cool, even though I don't really think I'm going to like the movie. But we'll see. We'll see.
It's kind of cool that they do that.
34 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. Nuggets had their press conference, end-of-year press conference. Josh Kroenke spoke. David Adelman spoke. The law offices of Tenzer and Wallace spoke. Did we get anything from it? Faith says, what about angels in the outfield? Yeah, come on. That's way better.
The original or the remake?
I didn't know there was an original. Why are you such a nerd? Why?
You just know things.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back into the whole show. On the Rocks Liquor, you guys, I talk about them all the time. The beverage of the week is Lucky One Lemonade. Your new summer favorite is here. That sounds wonderful, as we're going to get to 90 on Wednesday. Stop by On the Rocks Liquor, grab Lucky One Lemonade. Available in 12 packs and four flavors like original peach, raspberry, and blueberry. These will keep you cool and in the groove all summer long, and you can try before you buy, as they're going to be handing out free samples this Friday from 4 to 7 o'clock only at On the Rocks Liquor. This is a perfect summer beer or summer beverage for you. Michael might even like this. Lucky One Lemonade. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043.
Does Lucky One have alcohol in it?
It's a liquor store.
Liquor store, sell Mountain Dew.
We're not promoting Mountain Dew at a liquor store. My gosh, you are a child.
Well, if it has liquor in it, I probably am
okay,
not going to like it.
Fine.
I hate the aftertaste.
Okay. Hey, does the burger joint sell burgers? Is that your next question?
Burger joints often sell things other than burgers.
That's true. They do. Yeah, they do, Michael. Faith, I didn't know there was an original, so definitely not that one. The Danny Glover and Matthew McConaughey one. Yes, that one was great. We're not whatever you are. I just appreciate film. An old film like Orson Welles.
Oh, Orson Welles.
Of course.
Come on.
Yeah. Orson Welles. He was a great actor compared to the actors we have now. Come on.
You know what? Now we're just going to watch all old movies.
I decree
we watch old movies.
You know, I missed you on Friday, and I'm taking it back. I hope Derbs and Mike dancing down the hall. I just totally merged him. The dude down the hall and Mike dancing with himself. I hope they gave you a hard time on Friday, especially for not watching the movie, for not doing your homework.
They might have. I don't remember.
You got to do your homework, Mike. So is it official? Are we doing Field of Dreams?
We are doing Field of Dreams.
All right. 40 minutes after the hour. I got to take a break because I want to get back to some of this Denver Nuggets stuff. There's one former Nugget great, or just Nugget great, that thinks that the Nuggets are going to do a whole lot of nothing this offseason. We'll talk about that. Also, some of Josh Kroenke's statements, that and more. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, 45 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Eastside Chris says, Brady, I feel you are stressed out. No shave, no haircut, maybe lighten things up. Bad news bears. I'm down with Field of Dreams. I don't think Michael gets a vote because he didn't watch the movie last week, so maybe not. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043.
Technically, you didn't either, so
I wasn't
you don't
here.
Get a vote.
I wasn't here, Michael. So
you didn't watch it. So
I did watch
you don't
it.
Get a vote.
I did watch it. I actually wrote down on my list that I'm starting it. I saw Derbs and Mike started it. I also am starting the movie. That's a great movie.
And then I will watch it as well.
It's a good movie. It's a really good movie. It's fun. It's a lot better than The Natural. I'll tell you that. Josh Kroenke and company spoke to the about the Nuggets on Friday. And it was kind of a whole lot of nothing. Here's the first clip. Here's Kroenke basically saying, hey, everything's on the table and off the table at the same time.
I think that, you know, everything's going to be on the table outside of trading Nikola. I should be clear because my words got twisted in an interesting way last summer. But, yeah, I think everything's on the table outside of trading Nikola. I think we need to have running it back as a possibility.
Okay, first off, they didn't twist your words. You said you don't want to get to that point where, heaven forbid, you would have to trade Joker. I get what you were saying. You were saying, hey, we don't want to get to that point where we're just a middle-of-the-road, barely squeak-in playoff team that's never going to make it, even though we have a really, really great player in Joker. I get where you were going. I don't know that it was really twisted. I think people knew. If you really listened last year, I think you kind of knew. But there he goes, Mike. Everything's on the table, including trading everyone other than Joker, but also running it back is a very real possibility. Mike, I tend to, when I listen to these things, you don't have to, especially with Kroenke, they're going to run it back, aren't they? That's what they're going to do. They're probably going to run it back. They might even sacrifice. I think they can do this, right? They can get into the second apron and just try to re-sign Peyton Watson for $20+ million. Although some reports are indicating that he could command around $30 million, which would be even a bigger problem for the Nuggets. But if they run it back and they somehow say we're going into the second apron and we're taking Peyton Watson with us, isn't that you saying we're going all in? We're going all in for this year. It is championship or literally a bust. We haven't been able to really say that about this team for, I mean, pretty much since they got assembled. They've never fully busted. They busted a little bit by trading Michael Porter Jr., but, and then I want to get into the Michael Porter Jr. comments too, because Porter believes that if he was on the team with the Nuggets this year, they would have beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. Wasn't he on the team when they lost in 7? 2 years ago? Well, just an observation, just throwing it out there. I thought Cam Johnson actually was kind of a bright spot in the playoffs. But also on that note, I don't know if he's in the future plans because Denver was pretty adamant last year that they did not, they had no interest in getting back into the second apron and they were going to avoid that at all costs. So They also talked highly of Peyton Watson and how they want to make sure he's a Nugget, but they also said they wanted to make sure Bruce Brown was a Nugget after they won the championship, and KCP was a Nugget after they won the championship, although Calvin Booth was pretty much resigned to the fact they were not going to have KCP. I don't think he tried very hard, to be real honest. I thought it was a whole lot of nothing from the fellas on Friday. I appreciate them doing it, but the fact is, those press conferences are always tough because they haven't really sat down to go over off-season plans yet. So those press conferences are basically just to tell you that they will be meeting. We will be talking about everything. We're going to be talking about Jamal Murray. We're going to be talking about Aaron Gordon. We'll play back some of that in the second hour, too. He had some interesting things to say about AG and his health and where they go from here. Is running it back okay with you? Text us on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Would you be okay if Denver decided to just say, you know what? We believe that it was the injuries that really affected us this year. We didn't gel like we thought we could have by the time the playoffs started, and it affected us. Or do we need to just call this what it is? I mean, AG didn't play most of that series. Peyton Watson didn't play any of that series or any of the playoffs. But even if they did, are they beating Minnesota? I'm not so sure. I mean, maybe they win that game 6 when Minnesota has everybody out, but if you give me Minnesota's full roster and Denver's full roster as it's constructed today, it's hard for me to say the Nuggets win today as we're talking on May 11th. 11:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. I'll wrap up hour number one. Avs trivia coming up, Michael. I got to register somebody for the $50 worth of Mr. Money Cash. We gave it away last week. I'm going to register five people, every day, one person every day. And then we'll give the $50 to Mr. Money. We'll give that away on Friday, but you got to get the trivia question right. And I think these first few are kind of easy. They get harder as we go, so take advantage of it now. We'll do that in the next segment. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, here we go. I'm going to do my, we got our Mr. Money Greeley trivia question here. It's all things Avs playoff history here. Be the first one to call in and get it right, 970-353-1310. You'll be registered. You got a 1 in 5 shot to get the $50 in Mr. Money cash. Here it is. Which Avs player was named MVP of the 2001 Stanley Cup playoffs? Which Avs player was named MVP of the 2001 Stanley Cup playoffs? Be the first caller to get it right, and you're registered, and then you'll have a 1 in 5 shot to get the $50 in Mr. Money cash to use at the store, Mr. Money in downtown Greeley. And they have awesome stuff. Tons of great sports memorabilia there, too. So $50 Mr. Money cash is going to go a long way. Which Avs player was named MVP of the 2001 Stanley Cup playoffs? 970-353-1310. We're testing your Avs knowledge here, hooligans. So here you go, 970-353-1310. Top stories of the day, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.